Hi, I'm the Strategist Cowboy. This week, I am reviewing the Pale Ale beer assortment Best Bitter from the British brewery Roosters Brewing Company, and I'm setting it up against the Radler beer Grapefruit Radler from the Canadian brewery Moosehead. Both are ales with a low ABV level.
Let's get ready to rumble!
This week's first contestant is the Pale Ale Beer Assortment Best Bitter from Roosters Brewing Company. The brewery has been around since 1993, I think. The brewery's beers are said by the brewery to be vegan friendly, all of them. The ingredients in the Best Bitter beer assortment are water, barley malt, wheat, oats, and hops. The hops are of the British sorts Challenger, Fuggles, and White Bread Goldings. I don't have on record the hop Fuggles, but I'm pretty sure the word Fuggles is a British word. Hogwarts and Harry Potter and all that. The expiration date on this particular beer is mid-December 2023. Today it is still mid-August 2023. The Best Bitter beer assortment comes in a European size 33 centiliters, i.e. 11 liquid ounces can. The brand on the can depicts a black rooster's head. The can is mostly beige with an orange colored rim on top and a brown colored rim at bottom. The Best Bitter beer assortment cost me 26 kronor at Systembolaget. That is about $2.40. That is 87 cents per every 4 ounces of beer. The preferred serving temperature on this beer assortment is according to Systembolaget, 8 to 10 degrees Celsius, or about 46 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit. It's a low serving temperature for an ale. The Best Bitter Ale beer assortment has got a mere 4% ABV level. 4%. It is a low ABV even for a bitter style pale ale. How about the experience then? Okay, let's see here. Okay. It's got a good aroma. More than a 2 fingers tall head, 2.5 fingers about. And it's got an amberish color a little bit still. I mean, I haven't poured up the whole beer, but it's still a little bit fuzzy It's cloudy. And it's amber-like in color, some brownish color. Oh yeah, it smells like oat, for instance. And the first impression, let's see. It's my first impression, and that can change, but it is that it's doesn't notice that it's just 4%. It's a good taste anyway, and of course beers can taste good without having a high ABV level. That's nothing strange. So it's fairly rich. Well, it's normal. Maybe a little bit on the low level for an ale. But still, it's got taste. It's, let's see here. It's not exactly bread-like. It's a little bit more cloudy now that I poured up the last beer. It's not... yeasty. It's... maybe there's some sense of yeastiness in it, but not much. It's malty. And the taste on my palate is fresh. It's not so sweet, more dry. It's hoppy. And not very bitter. But not bitter either. It's not candy-like. And you can sense the oat and the wheat in it, but mostly it's barley, I think. I think so. A little bit on the oatly side, oat side, oatly. I don't know. It's not. Is it fruity? Not exactly, I wouldn't say. Spicy, perhaps a little bit spice, but not much, not very much. The undertone this is a thirst quencher, this beer. The carbonation level is probably, I don't know yet, but who cares? It's not creamy, it's not acidic, and there are no aberrations. Every taste in it should be there, or every flavor in it. It's not exactly dark roasted, no. It's normal roasted. And it's filtered. I think it's mostly filtered. But maybe not so very hard filtered, but mostly filtered. Are there any other flavors in it, like bread flavored with wort? No, definitely not. No pineapple, no pine needle. Good for them. Let's see here. I'm gonna put on my other glasses and read on it. The can. It doesn't matter. But it's it's not apricot taste, no light bread, no banana. Straw, no, not exactly. Maybe a little bit straw-like, a little bit. Not syrupy, no honey, no licorice, no club, no fudge, no chocolate, no coffee. No, not really. No raspberry, no blueberry, no mango, no tangerine. No raisin and no vanilla. So what about grading then? Well, it's a classical beer. It's not a bad beer. I grade this beer six devils out of 10 possible. Maybe seven on a good day, but not today. So what about grading then? Six devils out of 10 possible. So, okay, let's move on to our next contestant. This week's second contestant is the beer assortment Grapefruit Radler from the brewery Moosehead. The brewery has been brewing beers since the year 1867. Moosehead is the last major brewery in Canada still owned by Canadians. And Radler beer is a sort of beer, a type of beer that is similar to sodas. It's beer mixed with soda. A Radler type of beer is a mixture of beer and soda. The barley malt brew Grapefruit Radler is tapped or brewed with grape juice concentrate, sugar, grapefruit juice concentrate, citric acid, juice concentrate, gum arabic. Gum arabic is used to bind the sweeteners and flavorings in soft drinks. It is also used in chewing gum. And last, there is natural flavor ester gum. Ester gum is used to keep oils in suspension in water. I like Radler beers. Some of the best beers are Radler beers, both with alcohol and alcohol-free, I think. Or should I rather say, I like Radler sodas. Some of the best sodas are Radler sodas. The expiration date on this particular beer can is October 2023. At present date, it is mid-August 2023. The can contains 35.5 centiliters, i.e. 12 liquid ounces, a standard North American size can. The can is orange and white. On the one side, it has got a moose head on it. On the other side, there's a couple of grapefruits, two of them sliced. The Grapefruit Radler beer assortment cost me 18 Swedish kronor, i.e. about $1.65. That is 55 cents per every 4 ounces of beer. Pretty cheap. The preferred serving temperature for the Grapefruit Radler beer assortment is, according to Systembolaget, 6 to 8 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 43 to 46 degrees Fahrenheit. The brewery says nothing about preferred serving temperatures, but it is standard for a soda. The Grapefruit Radler beer assortment has got a 4% ABV. 4%. How about the experience then? Okay, let's see here. I'm putting on my ear pieces and I'm opening up this Radler beer. Foot sweat aroma with a fruity flavor or aroma. Foot sweat aroma with a fruity touch. It's got almost a 4-finger tall head. 4 fingers tall head. And it's yellowish in color, yellow in color. It's cloudy. And the aroma is citrus fruit, like lemon, a lot of lemon. Or, let's see here. Yeah, it's grapefruit juice concentrate in this beer. So, and juice concentrate. So, who knows? It's got a good soda taste. Citric acid in it, yes. Let's see here. How about the experience then? First impression. Since I like Radler beers, and not all people do, it's an unorthodox beer type, but I like it. It's got a nice citrus taste, aftertaste in it. And it's pretty rich for a 4% ABV beer. So it's rich. But more fruity than rich. It's not bread-like, it's not yeasty. It's not malty exactly, no, it's not. It's not, it's soda-like. Taste of my palate is... grapefruit taste. It's... Is it sweet or dry? Of course it's sweet. More sweet than dry, a lot more. It's not very bitter or hoppy, but I don't think there's hops in it. Or any hop in it. Let's see here again what it says above here. Are there any hops in it? Is there any hop in it? No. There's not, of course. It's a Radler beer. So it's not very bitter. It's not bitter at all. It's is it candy-like? More soda-like than candy-like. It's not that sweet, actually. Fruitiness, of course, it's fruity. It's a Radler beer, and it's a grapefruit taste in it, and also some other citrus fruit, like lemon, I think, lemon taste. And there's no spices in it. There are no spices in it, I think, and the undertone is soda. Carbonation level, I don't know, but... I don't think it's very high. It's of course not creamy. It's acidic, but it's sour, like more, it's not artificial. It's a real taste. A good taste. It's a fruit generated sourness in it. Not acidic, artificial acidicness, so to speak. And there are no aberrations in this beer. The beer's taste, the beer's flavors are supposed to be there. And of course, it's not dark roasted. Is it filtered? Yes, I think it is. Yeah. Let's see. Pineapple taste, perhaps. You do taste a little bit like pineapple taste. It does, but it's maybe the other fruit I'm mixing. Perhaps I'm mixing it up, but I think it's got a pineapple taste. I think it's very prevalent in many ways, or it is. But I don't know if they got pineapple in it. I have no idea. Let's see here. Chocolate, coffee, raspberry. No. I think that's it. So what about grading then? How many devils do I grade this beer? If you like Radler beers, which I do, then this is surely a good beer. 4% in a Radler beer is kind of normal, actually, but for a beer, it's a little bit low, especially an ale. And I think Radler beers are ales. I'm pretty sure of it. So how many devils are grade this beer? Seven or eight devils out of 10 possible. I think on a good day, eight. On a bad day, seven. And it's a bad day, so it's a seven. Absolutely don't drink and operate heavy machines, military or civilian. Drink responsibly or not at all. Don't drink at all if you're underage or pregnant. Let's see here. How shall I? One moment. Okay. China's ICBMs. ICBM meaning Intercontinental Ballistic Missile. The number of Chinese ICBM launchers reported by the Pentagon has gone from 100 launchers at the end of 2020 to 450 launchers as of October 2022. Hudson Institute, on July 12, 2023, gives a grim future with a looming war between China and, on the other side, Taiwan and the USA. A war is coming soon to a theater near you in the South China Sea. I think the US is calculating just a little tiny bit too much on Europe's participation. Germany isn't going to go to war for the US in the South China Sea. Poland isn't going to, the Netherlands and Belgium aren't going to. Spain, Portugal, Italy, Greece, I doubt. France, maybe. Scandinavia, including Sweden and Finland, are actually some of the best allies to the US. We could see some involvement from Scandinavia and Finland. But I don't like the idea of our soldiers, sailors, or pilots being under American command. UK, yes, they would gladly take part in this war and reap the benefits from it. Ireland, I don't think so. No other seafaring countries here in Europe. Except, without American involvement in Europe, this will be impossible on any significant scale. Russia poses too much of a threat. There might even be a simultaneous grand war in Europe, a world war. Do the American people want a world war if they don't even want a Pacific Ocean war? The American people don't know a US war is existential. And let us not forget about the Middle East. There might be a war there too. This Middle Eastern American war about who is going to get to buy the Middle Eastern oil, China or the US, will be the war triggering a Chinese invasion of Taiwan, for sure. It is China's only trump card against the US in the battle for world dominion. I'll get back to that. Actually, it is a matter of survival for both China and the US, and therefore also for Taiwan. China and the US are setting it up for a clash. And what about Africa? It is being destabilized, much with the help from Russia, as we speak. The future might hold the mother of all wars, after all. The US can either fight, or at least be present here in Europe, while still fighting a war in the South China Sea, with our limited support. Or they can take their surest ally, the UK, and pull the hell out of the rest of Europe and leave us to the vultures, but lose our limited support. But we can help the US to keep Russia at bay. But I guess there is more to it than just our military contribution to the US war effort. For instance, in the Netherlands, they have a crucial tech company. The most advanced semiconductor systems, such as those found in smartphones, cannot be made without a special machine, which the Dutch company ASML is the only company to manufacture. And they are not allowed to sell to China. I mean, they could, but imagine what it would do to the Netherlands. They would be crushed under the mighty weight of the US. No access to SWIFT banking system. And that is just one tool in the US toolbox. And the Netherlands would have nothing to put up against it, except for a supposedly united EU. That would be a first. But about the ICBMs. I guess there either isn't going to be a nuclear disaster, or there will be a Holocaust of biblical proportions. Since China and the US are at par in numbers of ICBMs nowadays, a former huge advantage for the US is gone, vanished. But the US is still strong enough in most arenas, including the economic arena, to pursue a war. China is equally to blame for this situation, which, allegedly, will lead to world war. According to the Hudson Institute, China is way gone in its planning to do what Xi Jinping repeatedly but ambiguously over the years has said that China would do, to invade Taiwan, an island with up to 90%+ of the world production of semiconductors, i.e. printed circuit boards for electronic products. Bad China! Bad, bad China! Do not pursue world dominion. It's your own damn fault if you get hammered with the shoe. According to Kyle Bass at the Hudson Institute, the US has made plans for countering any Chinese military action in the South China Sea. Kyle Bass is an economist. He doesn't have the necessary military knowledge, I can tell. Not even on an overall view at it. I myself don't know enough to give my view on the detailed military level, but I know enough to tell that Kyle Bass doesn't know much, and what he knows is partly incorrect. Well, it is correct that what he says about the two Chinese aircraft carriers being propelled by diesel fuel engines, while the American aircraft carriers are propelled by nuclear fission reactors. But in reality, it makes little difference for the operational range. In the real world, friendly ports are crucial also for the US. Either that or the US will have to resort to island hopping once again. Deja vu. And he admits that military matters aren't his expertise. But he emphasizes that the US has several friends in the Far East. So I guess the professional militaries he says he knows have filled him in on the importance of friendly ports. It seems as if the US and China both have problems containing their more or less traditional allies. Take countries like Sweden and the Philippines, for example. Sweden was much more Americanized prior to Donald Trump. The Philippines was much more China-friendly when Duterte was president in the Philippines. But the US alienated us here in Sweden with their evil economic scheme, which they dubbed TINA, or Tina, who is a real person. TINA stands for the "to us ominous, there is no alternative." And China alienated the Philippines with their hostility towards the country. I call Homo sapiens the perverted animal. Perversions in world leaders is of great entertainment to me. It makes them do crazy things. I'm Roger Klang, and the sources for this are Stratcom/the Hudson Institute and Sveriges Radio. Thank you, and see you later, alligator, at a wild crocodile.